We present Doctor at Large. Adapted for radio by Ray Cooney from the original novel by Richard Gordon, it stars Richard Briers as Simon Spadder and Jeffrey Sumner as Captain Spratt, with guest star Peter Jones as Easter. Episode 3, Women on Board.
Good morning, sir. Rise and shine. Dr. Sparrow, wake up, sir. First morning at sea, sir. The sun has risen to greet you. Wakey, wakey, Doc.
Who's that?
Easter, sir. Your steward.
Go away.
Time to get up, sir. Surgery at 9 o'clock.
Feel sick?
No, I feel fine, sir.
Me, feel sick. Go away.
Oh, rotten luck, sir.
Oh, is there a doctor in the house?
You're at sea, doctor.
Feel sick? Somebody's rocking the hospital.
Pull yourself together, sir. You're on board ship now, sir. We sailed last night.
What ship?
The SS Lotus.
Never heard of it.
You've signed on, sir. Now, come on, sir.
Leave me alone. Want to die in peace?
That's no good, sir. I'll take your order for breakfast.
Hero.
Have you been throwing up much?
Go away.
Try and get a grip on yourself, sir. If Father sees a ship's doctor like this, he'll blow his top.
Father?
Captain Spratt.
Oh, I feel worse.
Look, there's fried eggs, liver and bacon for breakfast.
Clear off!
Look, you haven't even touched last night's supper. The cook will be most put out. Lovely chops, mashed potatoes and greens. Why don't you try and get that down you now? Now, don't start giving in to it, Doc. Concentrate on something else. Try to stop thinking about the clouds of nausea spinning around inside of you.
Shut up!
Good morning, Easter.
Good morning, Mr. Hornby.
Hey, what's this? Not up yet, Doc. You've got surgery in a wee while.
Dr. Sparrow is a trifle seasick, sir.
Oh, is he? I suppose she is pitching a bit.
Oh, who's that? The first mate, sir.
Oh, mate. I hear you're off colour, Doc.
I'm dying, Doc.
Now, you know the best cure for seasickness, don't you?
Land.
No. No, you drink a pint of seawater.
Stop it.
Mr. Hornby, what the hell do you want down here?
But nothing, Captain.
Nothing? Well, take it and go. Get aloft and bend down the hatches.
Aye, aye, sir.
Morning, Captain.
Good afternoon, sir. What are you doing there, Dr. Sparrow? Stand up when the captain comes into your cabin.
I feel sick, sir.
Well, stand up and be sick like a man. Come to it, Doctor. You've got to get washed, shaved and dressed in time to take your first surgery.
I don't think I'm even well enough to take an aspirin at the moment, sir.
Poppycock. I'm not having a doctor of mine sick. Damn disgrace. Pull yourself together. Come on, out of bed. That's it now. Stand up. Is this last night's supper, Easter?
Yes, sir.
Right, well, get that chop down you, Doctor.
No, honestly, sir, don't.
Shut up, get that chop down you.
No.
That's it, man, that's it. Take big bites. All this nonsense about vitamins. Eat up, Doctor. All a sailor needs is a good bellyful of meat and spuds every day, and he'll be all right. Now, I'll tell you the cure for seasickness, Dr. Sparrow. Close your eyes, take a mouthful of undercooked tripe, stand on your head.
Excuse me, sir.
What the hell do you want?
There's been a radio message for you, sir. We're to take on 2 passengers at Gibraltar.
What? Head office said no passengers this trip.
2 women. One of them's rather special. Miss Edna Swithenbank.
Swithenbank?
Blimey, Swithenbank? Who's Edna Swithenbank? Colonel Swithenbank is chairman of Fathomline.
Miss Edna's his sister.
A ship's a place for men. Women get in the way.
Well, it might not turn out as bad as you think, sir, as the chorus girl said to the bishop.
Blasted interfering women turning up unexpectedly. All your fault, Sparrow.
Oh, Captain, you can't hold me responsible for your expectant women.
I can't say Gibraltar looks very exciting, Easter. Not through a porthole, anyway.
That's the rock, that is, sir. Foundation stone of our empire.
Pity we lost the building.
Oh. Edna Swithenbank's just arrived on board.
Elf bells.
What's she like?
A real tartar. She's already told the captain that his ship looks the most slovenly on the Fathom line.
Oh, blimey, Doc. What's that about an irresistible force meeting an immovable object?
You should see the bird who's travelling with her, though. It's her niece. Boy, what a figure. Got a top on her like a couple of funnels.
Right, stand your attention in here. This way, madam.
Thank you, Captain.
Now, I present Mr. Hornby and the mate. Dr. Sparrow, ship's doctor, Mr. Easter, hospital orderly.
Yes, I see.
And a happy new year to you, too.
What's that, Doctor? Speak up, don't mumble.
Well, I said a happy new year, Miss Wittenbeck.
It's late spring, Doctor.
Yes.
Oh. Well, a happy new year to you, too.
Just about due to sail, Miss Wittenbeck. Excuse me. Guys, long beam, drive the hook up.
Oh, Captain.
Yes, ma'am.
Now I'm on board, you will get the boat tidied up, won't you?
Yes, ma'am. I'll see the ship. It's made spick and span.
And as soon as we're on our way, would you put the kettle on for a cup of tea?
Yes, ma'am. See you there, Mr. Holden.
Will you be taking sugar, Miss Wittenbank?
I'm sweet enough, thank you. But my niece rather likes it.
That's good news, Mr. Holden.
By the way, Captain, Wendy is only 19, so I want you to watch the men's language.
Well, the language I'm worried about.
What do you mean, Captain?
Manners, ma'am. Manners. Excuse me, ma'am. Duty call.
Don't worry about me, Captain. I won't fall overboard.
No? No. Happy New Year, ma'am.
So, you're the ship's doctor, are you?
Yes, ma'am.
You have a very comfortable surgery here, Doctor.
Oh, yes, sir. That's thanks to Easter. I do my best, Doctor.
And that's your cabin through those communicating doors, is it?
Yes.
It seems quite pleasant. I'll take it.
Oh, good. I beg your pardon.
The passenger cabins allocated to Wendy and myself by the captain are filthy.
This is the captain. Stand by the engine. Stand by the engine.
Well, Miss Wittenbeck, I'm sure the captain will arrange to have the passenger cabins tidied.
It might take a bit of time, actually, Doctor. They haven't been cleaned out from our last trip yet.
They can't be in that much of a mess.
I'm afraid they are, sir. We had some livestock from South America in there.
You know how a cow smells, Doctor.
Yes. Through his nose. She's about as humorous as diphtheria.
We could reorganize the surgery, get rid of your things, and put in some chairs and a dressing table.
But, Miss Swithenbank,
I'll just have a look at your cabin through here.
But this is my cabin.
The captain. Stand by for it. Cast off, Mr. Holden. And if you can lose Miss Swithenbank over the side, I'll have your commendation in the log.
What did the captain say, Doctor?
What? Weather report. There's condensation in the fog.
Yes, I think I could make this quite pretty.
We'll have to box cleverly, sir, or you'll be sleeping in the hold.
Easter, she is not going to get her hands on my quarters. Don't look like that, man. You know what I mean.
Yes, I think with certain alterations, these two rooms will suit us admirably.
But this is my surgery, Miss Wittenbeck, my hospital.
Well, you can transfer to the passenger cabins.
But the old cow's just been in there. I mean, the other old cow. It's filthy.
As you said, the captain can clean it up.
But there's hygiene. And I mean, if we had an epidemic, for instance.
Nonsense. It's your job to stop things like that. Prevention is better than cure, Doctor. You should remember that.
Miss Swithenbank, you cannot have my surgery.
Why not?
I want it.
And so do I.
But I am the ship's doctor.
And I am the sister of the chairman of the Fathom Line. And what is more, I sit on the board.
I bet that flattens them. Sorry. One moment, please. The doctor is very new, madam, and he hasn't been well. Look at him, all pale and wan.
That's no excuse for addressing a lady in that way.
Oh, I know. But the doctor isn't used to dealing with addressing ladies of your caliber, ma'am. Now, I dare say we could manage the passenger cabins, Doc.
Look, I'm sorry, Miss Wittenbeck.
Yeah, I know. He's apologized. Miss, the passenger cabins are quite roomy, Doctor, and comfortable. We'll get them cleaned up before you can say there was a young man to a Madras.
Oh, yes, how did that go?
I don't wish to know that.
Oh, sorry.
I just require your cabin.
I don't see why you can't...
Leave it to me, Doc, please.
What a very sensible man you are, Mr...
Easter, ma'am. Most kind of you to say so.
I knew it at once, Easter. You're sympathetic.
I'm always willing to oblige a lady, ma'am. And if you leave it to me, I'll get this place organized for you.
Thank you, Easter.
Thank you, Easter.
As soon as I've finished disinfecting it, I'll let you know.
Disinfecting it?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think a surgery will need disinfecting, Easter.
This one will, ma'am.
Why?
We had yellow fever in here recently.
Yellow fever? Yellow fever?
Yes, don't you remember, Doctor?
Remember what? The yellow fever. Oh, yellow fever, yes. Oh, I remember that. Yes. 9 men in a cabin boy.
All in here?
Oh, yes. They developed claustrophobia as well.
They suffered something chronic.
Oh, absolutely dreadful.
We didn't lose any of them, now, did we, Doctor?
No, we didn't mislay one.
Yes, yes. My word, yes.
Thank goodness I've been inoculated.
Oh, good. Where were you inoculated, Miss Wittenbank? I mean, which country, not which part of your...
England.
England?
Yeah, I suppose we count that. Still, the yellow fever wasn't all that serious, wasn't it?
No, no, it was the typhoid that followed what done it.
Doctor, you haven't had...
Not me, personally, no.
The doc worked all day and night. One poor man had it in his fingers, the cook.
Oh.
I'm sorry, sir. Is it distressing you to be reminded of it? Made the best bit of plum duff in the whole of the Merchant Navy. Still, he's gone now. Comes to all of us.
I think I'll have to sit down for a moment.
No, not that chair. That's the one where the cook finally...
Gracious. Easter.
Yes, ma'am?
How long did you say it would take to clean out the passenger cabins?
Not more than a couple of hours, ma'am.
I'm just with the man. I plead to be more comfortable in here. Of course, disinfecting will kill all the germs, but I'm sure you're not afraid of that. Besides, I'm always on hand.
And the doctor would do his very best.
And I'm sure you'll forgive me if my very best isn't very good. Come in.
Please excuse me. Mr. Hornbeam said my aunt was down.
Oh, yes, yes, come right in. I say, how do you do, Miss Funnels?
Ah, Miss Whittlebeck.
Wendy, you shouldn't be wandering about the ship on your own. I've told you what sailors are.
Yes, all tarred with the same brush.
Are we moving our cabins, Auntie?
No, I think we'll stay where we are.
I'll get cracking with my aerosol.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm the ship's doctor, by the way, Dr. Sparrow.
I'm Wendy Swithenbank.
Yes, lovely. Each to my steward.
Pleased to meet you, miss.
Lovely, yes. And this is your aunt, miss. I suppose you two caught you there.
Come along, Wendy.
Oh, if either of you feel unwell or need anything...
We won't be unwell, thank you, doctor.
You never know. I'm an expert on seasickness.
Thank you. I remember that.
Yeah, any time, please. Just pop down and seasickness, morning sickness. What a super girl.
Not a bad piece of maritime overtime.
Gorgeous big blue eyes.
I didn't actually see you looking in that direction, sir.
She seems a very nice girl all round.
Definitely all round.
Easter, how far do you think she's going?
That depends how lucky you get, doesn't it, sir?
Please. I mean, will they be going all the way to Australia with us?
I couldn't say. From what I can gather, Miss Edna Swithenbank has been sent to spy on us and report back to the board of directors.
Oh, so I'll really be doing everybody a good turn by making a good impression on Wendy.
I wouldn't know about that, sir. The captain's got a point when he says women on board only means trouble. And besides, if you make any approaches to young Wendy, I should think Miss Edna will send you away with a streptococci in your oracle. A flea in your ear.
Oh, no. Oh, yes.
Here's your afternoon sick list, Doc.
Oh, yes. Good heavens. There's enough of them, isn't there? Archer, Bailey, Travers, Wilson.
Not unusual at this time of the voyage, sir.
What do you mean?
Well, you won't find nothing really wrong with them, sir. They always start imagining things round about the second week. They're all getting a bit peckish.
Peckish?
But what I mean is, take Mr. Archer. He's missing Mrs. Archer.
I thought he was glad to get away from her.
Oh, that mood only lasts a couple of days, and then the old Adam gets to work. All the crew are the same. The married ones are missing their old women, and the single ones are missing the...
Yes, I see what you mean. You mean it's a very interesting theory.
It affects us all, sir. Half the crew imagine they're ill, and the other half start going bonkers.
Do they?
Yes. Chippy the carpenter starts seeing red alsatians. And the cook leaves matches in the gravy. And Mr. Hornbeam gets toothache.
Does he? Well, he hasn't developed toothache yet.
Oh, he will, sir. Mark my words. Of course, his tooth don't really ache. He only thinks it does.
I see. Sort of false pregnancy.
It's a psychological symptom of his peckishness.
Right. You're quite a medicine man, Easter.
Oh, yes, sir. 5 years night porter at St. Thomas's. Oh. I'll lay 5 to 1 that Mr. Hornbeam will be in here before the week's out with chronic toothache. Might be sooner seen as how that young lady's aboard.
You mean Wendy?
That's the one, yeah. Mr. Hornbeam's been giving her a course in astronomy. I saw him stargazing on the boat deck last night.
I don't believe it.
True, as I'm standing here, sir. You'll have to pull your socks up if you fancy her as well, sir.
I didn't say I fancied her. I mean, she's quite nice, but I don't get peckish. I get
starving hungry.
Starving? No, I don't get starving. Maybe starving. I'm not interested in what Mr. Hornbeam does. The swine.
Well, if you were interested...
Yes, I am.
I thought you might be. I shouldn't underestimate Mr. Hornbeam. He's got a very lively line of chat, you know. The birds fall for it like a ton of bricks.
Thank you, Easter. I don't want to hear any more, quite frankly. I'm going through to my cabin to read a medical book. Sling us that one, will you?
Here we are, sir. What is it?
Anatomy of the female. No, that'll only make me think of... No, I don't think about that. I'll take the elements of surgery and think of Mr. Hornbeam instead.
Poor old Doc. He's young, I suppose. That's his trouble. Come in.
Hello, Easter.
Hello, miss.
Is Dr. Sparrow around?
Through in his cabin, miss.
Is he busy?
Not too busy. Can't see you, miss. Anything wrong?
No, nothing at all. I just felt like a chat.
Oh, I see. Miss Wendy, may I say something?
Of course.
I think you're doing very nicely.
What do you mean, Easter?
You're making the doctor quite peckish.
I don't understand.
Stirring him up a bit.
Oh, am I?
I should say so. He's fallen for you, hook, line and sinker.
Really?
Definitely.
Well, he's a bit slow in showing it, I must say.
He's young, miss. He's got an inferiority complex. But complexes is like principles. You grow out of them. Anyway, we'll soon bug his ideas up if you continue these astronomy lessons with Mr. Hornbeam.
You make me sound dreadful, Easter.
Not a bit of it. Where would I be today if I'd been born with a conscience? You carry on turning the screw and don't show your hand too soon.
Thanks for the advice, Easter.
Pleasure, miss. People think we sailors are a lot of ignorant layabouts, you know.
Do they?
Yes, miss, but we ain't ignorant. Make the doctor jealous. It'll give him a bit more gumption.
A bit more what, Easter?
I was just saying we'd run out of tins of gumption. If you'll excuse me, sir, I'll run out and get some more.
Thank you. Oh. Good afternoon, Miss Swinburne.
Hello, Simon.
Oh. Yes, I meant to ask you to call me Simon because that's my name, you see. Simon. Simon Oliver Sparrow. S.O.S. Can I do anything to you? I mean, for you.
No.
No. Oh, well, this is the sick bay. You see, I thought perhaps you felt like something. I felt like something to make you better.
No, I feel fine.
Good. Jolly good.
I just came in to,
What?
Came in for,
What, aspirins?
Yeah, that'll do.
I thought you said you felt fine.
Oh, did I say that?
Yes.
Well, if I'm fine, I suppose it must be for somebody else.
Yes. Who?
Who? Oh, Auntie. Yes, she asked me to pop down and get some, aspirins.
I've got a headache, has she?
No. Oh, yes, of course. She must have, mustn't she?
Ah, well, I'm afraid she'd have to report here herself and sign the book, you see, company regulations.
Oh, I expect she's feeling all right now.
Well, you never know. Sometimes these headaches can be jolly unpleasant, you know. And it's most fascinating things, you know. The causes of them can be quite numerous.
Can they?
Oh, yes, you see. Almost any upset in any part of the body can have headache for a symptom. Anything from slight indisposition to severe mental or physical disease. See, some women get severe headaches in the early stages of pregnancy. But I don't suppose your aunt... No.
That's really fascinating, Simon.
Do you really think so? I could go on for hours, you know.
Yes, I'm sure.
Why don't you ask your aunt to come and see me? No time at the present.
Well, I shouldn't think that...
Honestly, no trouble at all, honestly. I'll give her a couple of aspirins, and if that doesn't get rid of it, I'll examine her thoroughly.
If she hasn't improved, I'll send her down.
Fine. Aspirins usually do the trick. Well, it's jolly nice of you to pop in.
It's been a pleasure, Simon.
That must have impressed her.
Ah, Mr. Hornbeam.
Miss Swithenbank.
I want two eggs. Could you tell me where the kitchen is?
The galley, ma'am.
Oh, very well. The galley, if they haven't got any in the kitchen. I asked Wendy to try and get some half an hour ago, but she hasn't returned.
Well, the galley's down the other end of the ship. Look, why not have a word with the doctor, though? His cabin's right here. He or Easter might have some eggs.
Very well, thank you.
Come in.
Ah, Miss Swithenbank. May I come in?
Certainly.
Mr. Hornbeam suggested...
Do sit down, please.
No, it's all right. I've just seen Mr. Hornbeam, and he thought you might be able to help me.
Well, you don't want to listen to Mr. Hornbeam. Your niece has been telling me all about it.
Oh, I wonder where she got to.
I'll get a couple for you now.
Thank you. Do you think it's best to boil them, Doctor?
I beg your pardon?
I said, is it best to boil them?
Boil them?
To make them more palatable. Fried would be ghastly.
Definitely.
Or soft on toast.
I think perhaps you ought to sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Now, personally, I've always found the best thing to do is simply swallow them whole.
Without cooking them?
Yes.
What about the shells?
How is your head, ma'am?
My head?
Yes, aching badly, is it?
Should it be?
Well, you wouldn't want them if it wasn't, would you?
Wouldn't I?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't ask for them, would you? I mean, on the other hand, you'd be very silly if it did and you didn't. But if it's rest you need, there's nothing like them to help you sleep.
But, Doctor, I've no trouble in bed at all.
I'll soon remedy that. I mean, a couple of aspirins will soon remedy that.
Aspirins?
For your headache.
I don't want aspirins.
They'll do the trick.
I want eggs.
You want eggs?
Yes.
For your headache.
For my nog.
I think I'd better have you in bed.
Doctor Sparrow!
Please sleep. It's for your own good. I'll give you the treatment.
Doctor!
Now just lie down, let me have a look at you.
You've got mad.
Oh dear. All the symptoms, I may have to use force. Now come on.
Let me out of here. Sorry. You're a sex maniac.
Please don't shut. I may have to ask Easter to help.
I'll tell the captain.
Now will you get out of that couch, woman?
Doctor, please. Have mercy. I'm old enough to be your mother.
Of course you are. Now just relax.
Oh, I know what it must be like to be at sea, but please restrain yourself.
Get out of that couch.
Doctor, remove yourself from Miss Swinbank.
I need your help, sir.
You seem to be doing darn well without it.
He's a maniac.
You don't have to tell me that.
A sex maniac.
That does surprise me.
I shall report this to the chairman of the line. It's outrageous disgrace.
Oh, one moment, ma'am, please. Madam, Dr. Sparrow, I'll fly your guts from the flagpole. Miss Swinbank, madam, please.
I say, sir, the captain seems to be in a bit of a tiz.
I don't know why he got so upset with me. That woman's in the last stages of paranoia.
Doc! Doc!
What is it? What is it?
I've developed the most shocking toothache.
Oh, have you?
Aye. It's killing me.
We were expecting you to call Mr. Hornbeam.
Do something, Doc. I felt it coming on last night when I was on the boat deck with Miss Swithinbank.
Did you? But you shouldn't spend so much time on the boat deck with your big mouth open.
Yes. What are you waffling about? I'm in agony.
Sit down, then.
The ticket, easy man.
Go on, get on the couch. Now, open your mouth. Now, is it that one?
No.
That one?
Aye! Oh.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
No, there must be.
Still, it may as well come out.
Come out?
Yes.
No, I just want an aspirin or something.
I don't want to hear any more about aspirins, thank you, or toothache. It's coming out.
Now, wait a minute, Doc.
Pass the pliers, will you, Easter?
The pliers?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid I flogged the dental equipment last year in Hong Kong.
Never mind, it's all right. The pliers have been sterilized.
I'm suddenly feeling much better, thank you.
Hold him down, Easter.
Very good, sir.
I'm all right, I tell you.
You can't leave it in, Mr. Hornby. My newer patient who refused to have a bad tooth out, and in 6 months he was as bald as a ping pong ball. Yeah. Hold him down, Easter. Hold him down.
No, I demand an anesthetic.
Clear with that hammer, will you, Easter?
Get off me! Get off me!
Open his mouth, Easter.
Don't you...
Blimey, it's slippery. Hold him, Easter. Hold him.
I'm trying to.
Stop! I'll give you a hand. Come on.
Give me your head, blast you.
I've got his head. Open up.
It's my mouth, you fool.
Got it.
You clearly had the whole lot of the plate.
Keep still, Mr. Hobby.
You murderers.
Now, Easter, grab that box of matches, right? Okay. When he yells, yeah. Wedge it right in his mouth.
Right.
Now, I'm going to stamp on his foot.
Right.
Lovely.
Wow.
Now, I get the old pliers in. Hold him, Easter.
Five, two.
Look out, man, we're falling.
What the hell are you doing now?
He's attacking someone else.
Explain yourself, Doctor.
Oh, well, it's only a joke, sir. Mr. Hornbeam imagines he's got toothache.
What do you mean, imagines? I'm in agony.
Pliers, Hornbeam. Give us those pliers.
It's really a joke, sir. Honestly, he was feeling peckish, you see.
Open your mouth, Mr. Hornbeam.
Honestly, sir, it's a false pregnancy.
There it is.
Something for it. Thank you, sir. There's only one thing, sir.
What's that?
You pulled the wrong tooth.
Right. Give me the pliers again, Doctor. Now then, come here, Dr. Sparrow.
Sir?
Miss Swithinbank here is making a full report of your attack on her to the chairman of the company.
But she needed...
Never mind what she needed. You weren't the fellow to give it to her.
I'll also report your assault on the chief officer. We're returning to Gibraltar immediately, and I shall fly back to London tomorrow.
You've already altered course, ma'am.
And Wendy will be your responsibility, Captain.
Isn't she flying back to Gibraltar?
She will disembark at Las Palmas, where her mother's meeting her.
Las Palmas?
Remember, Captain, she's your responsibility.
You realize this means the end of you at sea, Sparrow?
Does it, sir?
I'll probably let you finish the trip and then give you the push.
You wouldn't put that in writing, would you, sir?
Practically killing both me and the chief officer, I could give you 10 lashes.
Yes, sir.
For getting Miss Swithinbank off my ship, I could kiss you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
You won't, though, will you?
No. I may possibly let you have the occasional moment with young Miss Swithinbank, sir.
Thank you, sir. How long is it from Gibraltar to Las Palmas, sir?
4 days.
4 days?
Why?
Nothing, sir. I'm just feeling a bit peckish, that's all. I've been on a diet.
In that episode of Doctor at Large, written by Ray Cooney, the parts were played as follows. Simon Spadder, Richard Bryars, Captain Spratt, Jeffrey Sumner, Jock Hornbeam, Ray Cooney, Edna Swithenbank, Joan Sanderson, Wendy Swithenbank, Norma Ronald, Easter, guest star Peter Jones. Doctor at Large was adapted from the original novel by Richard Gordon and produced by David Hatch.